I wish I could deliver jokes like Mickey Rooney, but about video games. Adjusting my tie, like, oh man. Oh, it's tough, I tell you what. Oh man, it's tough.
Don't you mean that Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah. What did I say, Mickey Rooney?
Mickey Rooney?
Yeah. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 31st, 2009. This is Mike Minotti with Ash Guy Minotti.
Hello.
And Beige.
What up?
Hi, Beige.
Hello.
You don't get a real name today.
That's fine. I'll go by my handle.
That's good. Yeah.
The International Man of Mystery.
Yeah, it works out. All right, so hi, everyone. We're doing a show today about video games.
You Minottis are podcast crazy.
We are now.
We are. We're nuts.
Because, yeah, we got our Disney podcast now. First episode's up. Planet Mickey. Look it up, everybody.
Every other Saturday, I think.
Yeah. We haven't...
I haven't quite nailed that down yet.
But... We're working on that. But, you know, it's there. It's good. PlanetMickey.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter. Man, I shouldn't be playing so much software. We haven't even done anything.
Yeah, we haven't even started
yet. We haven't done anything substantial
yet. You do that
yet.
At the end.
All right, listen. Here's what we're doing today. We got news. Then we're going to do a segment called Let's Go Topical.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up just...
I don't know what this is.
I'm going to bring up some questions. I'm going to ask you guys. I got five of them. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Then we got the quiz. Got another quiz ready. Then we'll do our weekend gaming. We'll talk about downloadable releases and normal retail releases, and that'll be a whole show.
All right.
So get to this news.
Okay, so earlier in the week, Sega confirmed that Yakuza 4 is in development. Then later
Bastards.
In the week, they said Yakuza 3 will not be coming to the United States or Europe and getting no translation whatsoever.
But very recently, someone said, well, that's not a policy. Maybe it could happen. I think once they saw that everyone was really upset, they just wanted to like kind of be like, it could happen.
It's not going. But here's the thing. I mean, they blame it on understandably poor sales of Yakuza 2. But what do they think was going to happen with that game? It was a subtitled release at the end of the PS2 life cycle.
Well, yeah.
Of course that game wasn't going to sell.
Hey, speaking as somebody who's played Yakuza 2, it was awesome. And I was frothing at the mouth that they're not going to bring over number 3. If there's some rage at Sega forum, I'll go rage at it. But yeah, I love Kazma. And that needs to get over here. Besides, it's a beautiful PS3 exclusive. Like, how can Sony not be hyping this?
Maybe they changed the name. Since Yakuza doesn't have much pull over here, it was like Grand Theft Auto Japan.
Which is sort of what it is, but in an awesome way.
Yeah. How much can that, how much can it cost to license that name?
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto Tokyo Nights, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, for you old school fans out there, King's Quest and Space Quest are now on Steam in their entirety. Well, except for King's Quest Mask of Eternity, but no one cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I do.
That game sucks. No.
No, I don't really care.
Yeah, I disavow
I'm
it
joking.
From the official canon. That's great. I mean, obviously the adventure pendulum is swinging pretty hard.
It really is. It's kind of strange. We all thought the genre was completely dead.
Nothing really dies. It just goes away for a while.
Yeah.
I want to know what started this. Like Monkey Island? Because, you know, previously...
Really...
For years, they could have done this any time.
You almost have to trace it back to Bone out of Boneville, Telltale's first game. I mean, that's really when all this, the momentum started building for all this.
Okay, can we at least say Sam and Max then? I don't know how much Bone.
That's where
had
the seeds got. I mean, that's at least where Telltale got going, put out, like, it was noted that they were a company making just adventure games,
right,
episodic
okay, but
ones.
That was still all Telltale. It seems like once we had the joint announcement of, we're gonna do a new Monkey Island and a re-release of Monkey Island, then all of a sudden it seemed like, well, hey, LucasArts, we're not ashamed of our adventure game past anymore. We're going to put those titles up on Steam, and maybe you're going to get more things, and they're going to sell well. You can download a freaking Stan outfit on Xbox Live, you know?
It was even noted, too, this week, Dave Gibbons is teaming up with Quest for Glory?
No.
No. What's the one? Dragon, no.
You're thinking about Quest for Glory.
The one that
so
just
you want
got,
to be a hero?
The one that just came out on DS. The second one was released on DS.
Simon the Sorcerer?
No, not Simon the
Sorcerer. Broken Sword?
Broken Sword. Yeah, thank you. Okay, because the second one, that one got ported to DS and Wii. They announced this week that they're kind of doing like a special edition of the first one on iPhone. with Dave Gibbons doing all new art for it. So, you know, it's kind of coming back. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. It seems like Monkey Island Special Edition has sold pretty well, I imagine. So
it's selling really well. It's on the top of Steam. It's been one of the top XBLA downloads.
Okay. I really want Monkey Island 2 then.
Well, have you guys seen the proof of concept of how to do like a Monkey Island 2 Special Edition?
That was a fan thing.
Yeah.
It still looked awesome.
Yeah,
people are misinterpreting it. Like, everyone's like, I don't know why these guys showed it so soon. It's just going to get cease and desisted. I don't think they're doing the whole game. They're just, it's like a proof of concept.
They're not doing anything.
They're just like, look how cool this looks, and wouldn't it be neat if they did this?
Right.
That's called the shame program. They're shaming LucasArts into, you know, stepping their game up. Hey, I bought the Dig for $5. It was easy and cheap.
I got Loom. It's great.
Speaking of which, how'd the Dig podcast go?
It went great. The Jedi's editing it this weekend. Should be up sometime soon.
Yay.
Nice. Right. Well done.
Speaking of things that keep coming back, they announced the Ultimate Sith Edition of Star Wars The Force Unleashed at Comic-Con. Basically, it collects all the DLC from the game on a disc, along with two new episodes, one taking place on Tatooine, one in Hoth, where it kind of like assumes the dark side ending, so it's all like that what-if stuff that's becoming popular in Star Wars comic books.
The best what-if story was already done, though. They did that one a long time ago. It was like the comic book, and it was like, I forget what it was, but like Leia like joined Vader, and she was like with him. I don't
really?
Know.
Oh, yeah. I never heard of that one. I know there's one where what happens if Vader was good.
It's like Red Sun, but for Star Wars?
Something like that.
Yeah, like Vader's in like all white armor. It was really strange.
Oh, man.
The weird thing, though, is the Hoth level, which sees the apprentice dueling Luke Skywalker, will not be downloadable. It will only be available in the Sith edition. The good thing is, though, like, if you buy this, you can just play these two new chapters straight away. So you could rent the game and then just play through these chapters if you wanted to, too, which is good.
I just recently got that last downloadable content thing because it was on sale.
Have you beaten it yet? Looks hard.
I played some. You know what? It is kind of hard. Also, like, when you're kind of away from Force Unleashed for a while and you kind of think back on it, you kind of think back maybe a little bit more fondly than maybe it really is.
Yeah.
Because you remember things like throwing people around with the Force and awesome things. You kind of forget about the sort of glitches that surround the game.
Yeah. More out of Comic-Con. Did you guys hear about this Sin to Win thing that EA was doing?
Yeah, there's no possible way this could have gone wrong.
So, for those who don't know, EA had the brilliant idea to have a contest at Comic-Con to promote Dante's Inferno, where they were focusing on one of these seven circles of hell, this one being lust, where you were supposed to go around the con, take a picture of yourself, like, groping a booth babe, basically, and post it on Twitter with, like, the hashtag for it, and then the winner got, like, a night of sin, where you got, like, a limo night out with two booth models, and hijinks ensued. Well, in a very funny twist, user Pixel Poet of GayGamer.com was one of the contest runners-up. And the picture he actually submitted were him with a booth guy at PAX. So he refused the prize, which was $240 at the EA store, and sent them this very amusing list of things they could do with the $240, which I have in its entirety here to read because it's pretty funny. He says they should, one, buy a new sexual harassment training video or seminar. Two, hire another PR team to try to spin this whole debacle of a contest in a positive light. Three, make a direct phone line to EA's legal department to use before you try any more PR stunts. Four, buy 6 copies of your game when it releases, since I know you've lost at least that many fans with this stunt. Or five, the next time you go to Hooters, for the wings, of course, leave a $240 tip for your waitress and a karmic way of balancing out what has been done to the booth babes of San Diego Comic-Con due to the contest.
Ooh.
That's what we called getting owned.
I don't know. I'm not really on the doesn't anyone think of the booth babes angle. These are girls who dress themselves up in exploitive outfits to make money from nerds. I mean, at the same time, if of all of the deadly sins to have a caption contest about, you went with lust. I mean, come on.
It should have been gluttony, and it could have been an eating contest.
Envy. You know what kind of poster, you know, pictures envy could have generated? That would have been fantastic. Lust is the easy way out. It's the only one that could have got him a sexual harassment suit, too. So,
right. I wish there was like
PR
a
fail.
I wish it was at E3 and there was like Envy. You could like get a picture of like Jack Trent or something, just as he's like looking at the Nintendo booth.
See, it writes itself.
Oh Oh, you. See, you can be funny.
Yeah, thanks.
This is funny, too. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Eidos supposedly was once again caught in the fixed review score limelight when they were talking about how they were fixing review scores for Batman with magazine covers. And then they came out and said, oh, no, 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 we didn't say that. Well, curiously, Game Masters, which is a UK magazine, has Batman on the cover of their magazine with a world-exclusive first review inside where they gave a game a 96 out of 100. The only negative in the negative column was that it had to end.
Hmm. The whole thing was kind of filled with language like that where it's just like, this is Mark Hamill should be better remembered for his role in the Joker in this than for being Luke Skywalker. An actual quote from that review. Like, it's almost like I felt like maybe the writer was being facetious, or not entirely, I mean.
Like he was trying.
No, it's like he was like mad that he had to give the game like a high review.
I'm just gonna make it blatantly obvious.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, how far down the ladder did they have to go before they found somebody who'd give him a 96? I'd never heard of this publication before.
And the shame is, I mean, this game, from what I've seen of it and the little bit I played in the GameStop demo, seems like it's gonna be pretty good. Like, I think they should just let it be.
I think it's going to be pretty good. I'd be surprised if it was a 96. I'd be surprised if it was a 90. Like, I'm expecting 80 range.
It should be good.
Yeah, it's on the I'm interested in it, but I'm not expecting huge things.
I mean, when I played
franchise
that...
Franchise stuff, you've got to work pretty hard to be impressive, right?
Mm-hmm. And when I played that demo, and the combat, it was fun, but it was pretty much... It was a lot like that Assassin's Creed sort of like... just wait and counter people thing and get the one-hit kill. And people, you know, they criticize Assassin's Creed a lot for that.
Well, that demo, I think, was all kind of a mistake. Because like I said, it was a combat demo when really everything else I've seen in this game, combat's like a last resort for what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay. I hear that line all the time in games. I heard that for Assassin's Creed. It's not really true. Okay, what's next?
Well, Ubisoft blames piracy for a 50% games drop. They blame it on DS piracy.
DS piracy? 50% of the revenue from DS piracy?
Because, you know, a lot of soccer moms have R4 chips that they're using to pirate, like, you know, imagine babies.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's those tween girls, you know. They're tech savvy.
I mean, they specifically cited piracy of the DS, and I really can't imagine the games they're putting on the DS are getting that pirated.
Not unless, like, most of their market is from Asia, South Asia.
Which it isn't.
Piracy. Yeah, I don't know. How many people in South Korea really want to play Imagine Babies?
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. Sorry to hear that.
I've got a confession to make. I pirated Imagine Babies.
Well, you're part of the problem then.
I am. Yeah. I'm sorry,
see,
Ubi.
See what you've done?
Forgive me, Ubisoft.
Doing that, they won't make any more baby games.
Or they won't hire 700 people to make Assassin's Creed 3.
I promise to buy Rabbids Go Home for all 12 platforms to make up for this.
Okay. So, can we now talk about Epic Mickey?
New story of the year, 2009.
We have it at last.
Yep. I was wondering what you guys would make of this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I make of
this. We didn't want to jump into it right away.
Oh my god.
Okay, so first the backstory. It has been known for like a while now that like first Warren Spector, who made Deus Ex, started his own game company, Junction Point Studios. And then it was known that they were working with Disney Interactive on something, everyone presumes, some kind of Mickey Mouse platformer. We're all like, oh wow, how would that work? Well, artist Tony Pulham on his resume site, he listed as providing concept and inspirational artwork for this game, which is said to be on the Wii. And then we found the artwork. The first picture I saw was a giant ship that looked like Monstro the Whale. On the front of it is the Eiffel Tower from Disney Hollywood Studios. On the rear is a, like, bombed out spaceship Earth from Epcot Center. And then I didn't even notice until today when you told me the Tower of Terror is also on the back of this thing. What the fuck? This is the coolest thing ever.
I know, like, I think I made the joke at the time about, ooh, Deus Ex and Disney together at last. But, you know, I should have said Fallout. But I wasn't expecting it to be real.
Well, then there's, like, this thing looks like this weird version of Cinderella's castle and, like, this stone pyre in the air.
Have you guys seen the character designs?
Yeah. There's Goofy as, like, a half-robot scary thing.
It's like this steampunk robot missing an arm. It's terrifying.
There's the one thing where it's, like, there's, like, these boats, going on this beach, and every boat, it looks weird, but they all have one of the faces of the seven dwarves on them.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this?
And then there's this giant tower with Mickey on it. It's like for paint thinner. And then we got some kind of clues to the story, I guess. Cause if you look at this beach scene, you see all the like kind of 30s characters with horse collar being more prominent. And apparently the supposed plot of this game is all these forgotten characters from the 30s are like out for revenge on Mickey Mouse because they've been pushed aside and he's gotten popular. Like, I just imagine like horse collar and his giant monster ship like abducting Disney Park landmarks. This is awesome.
I think way beyond what I was expecting, but I'm into it. You know, also, I'm not a Disney fan bot, but I'm just like Kingdom Hearts worked. When they said Final Fantasy plus Disney, I scratched my head and was like, okay, Sephiroth and Winnie the Pooh in the same game, right? I understand this, but it looks fantastic. It really does. Just you can't look at that art and not be intrigued.
Oh my god! And probably,
I just want to know who greenlit that.
Yeah, I can't
understand. Yeah,
are they actually really going to make this?
Well, that's why I almost think the Wii might be the wrong platform for this.
Well,
now supposedly it's going to have some kind of painting mechanic, which could explain it.
Right.
I want the game to look really good.
Well, like I said, Mario Galaxy looks
good, but this looks more painterly. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, obviously, we don't really know anything about the game.
What's the other games that look really painterly? Okami. That's a PS2 game, so for that kind of art style, you don't need 720p.
Yeah, that's
if they did it
true.
As well as Kingdom Hearts 2, I'd be happy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm just surprised. I'm really surprised that this is. It's almost like the Kingdom Hearts with chainsaw stories.
Yeah, I mean, like when they first announced that this game was happening, I kind of pictured like maybe a 3D version of Mickey Mania, which David Jaffe worked on. You know, I'm like, okay, give it like a really good Mickey Mouse platforming game that kind of goes through his career or something. I certainly didn't expect this. I mean, it's so cool.
I just can't imagine what it's actually going to be like. I just can't. I hope it actually happens.
It's like, impossible to tell from the shots what the tone is going to be. Is it going to be sort of whimsical and Or that black and white level in Kingdom Hearts, or is it going to be friggin' hardcore? Like that goofy thing looks terrifying.
When you see like the bombed out spaceship Earth, I mean, that's like a big Disney landmark. To see that in a destroyed state is kind of strange.
It looks like the end of Toy Story, where that kid starts cobbling together horrible toys made out of Meccano and bits of old Barbie figures. Except Disney. I cannot believe they greenlit it. Just imagine being the suit at the table when Warren pulled the blinds aside on that one and was like, okay, all right. I don't want to shock you, but a bomb has fallen on Epcot Center and everything is destroyed.
Well, you know,
are you excited yet?
Maybe there's someone in Disney who really wants this to happen because didn't Disney more kind of get Warren than the other way around?
It's kind of understood, yeah.
So I think maybe Disney was like, you know what? We're going to make a Mickey Mouse game. This is going to be nothing like what anyone's going to expect. It's going to be weird as shit. Who's available? They're like, Warren Spector's available. Like, Warren Spector, that's great. That makes the least amount of sense. Get him.
I can't help wondering if they did some focus grouping and was like, okay, what would actual hardcore gamers buy if we made it? And I'm not talking Mickey Mania. I'm talking like Fallout Disney.
It's like they went to the Halo Wars Midnight launch and they took a little survey with them. It said, what would you need in a game with Mickey Mouse in to buy it?
The Penny Arcade comic where Gabe is writing and he says, drive a bike around.
Yeah.
Look at some titties. Right? That's what they did. Somebody handed me a survey at PAX and was like, Mickey Mouse, rocket launcher, dark and gritty noir atmosphere, 1930s characters.
They're like, well, first off,
horse color.
Everyone has to want to kill Mickey. Like, okay, this is good. Goofy is kind of a robot.
It's frightening. But could you imagine, like, if you're, like, teaming up with, like, animatronics from the parks, like, you go to the Hall of Presidents and all the presidents are fighting with Mickey Mouse against, like, Clarabelle Cow and horse collar and, like, the singing chicken.
That's like the intro. It's weird because it's like, it's Mickey's past, but also the theme parks. And I just
can't understand how this all works.
Yeah, we gotta wait and see. I'm so stoked though.
Oh,
I couldn't be more excited. I like the code name too. Epic Mickey. Why not?
Yeah, that's great.
We haven't actually seen Mickey though.
No, just in that paint thinner. And then if you look.
Well, you wouldn't like him because once the half of the flesh of his face was destroyed and the great yeah. skull, they had to put the Terminator skull on underneath. And now his eye can calcify flesh with a single glance.
Oh, man.
He's not the same Mickey you remember.
Oh, man. It's too bad that the voice of Mickey died not too long ago. They got to get someone new.
I know. I wonder how that's going to work.
I can't imagine this Mickey's going to talk very much.
Right.
He talks with his guns.
He lets them do the talking for him. Okay, we better move all on. Right.
If you buy all of these Summer of Arcade titles on your Xbox 360, you'll get 800 Microsoft points credited to your account.
So you have to spend about, what, $70?
$65, first? Actually, because they dropped the price of Turtles in Time to 800 points instead of 1,200.
Well, that's good. People were complaining about that, weren't they? So they're happy now.
Yep.
I guess. When's that one coming out, Turtles?
Next week.
Good.
Like this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, the summer has quickly become the no-holds-barred Duke Fest for downloadable game supremacy.
I'm all for it.
I was just playing Fat Princess thinking, damn, I love the PSN. And then I realized that, you know, this same week I downloaded Explosion Man and we got all of that Summer of Arcade stuff. I'm like, shit, summertime's awesome.
It is.
Okay. The Avatar game, based off James Cameron's movie, not the Last Airbender or whatever, is going to apparently use 3D, like on 3D TVs. They were
3D
saying,
TVs?
Huh?
On 3D TVs?
Yeah, like you can hook up the glasses.
Oh.
Apparently, though, like it needs to be in 1080p, which had people saying that means if you have a 360 without an HDMI port, you can't do this. But you can get 1080p through component and VGA, so I don't know if that works or not. It has to be HDMI or what, but people are making a fuss about that.
It doesn't sound very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, how many people have 3D-equipped HD TVs right now with all the glasses and everything you need? It's not a big market, I imagine. A guy put up a thing on YouTube where he ported Sonic CD to the iPhone with a custom-built engine.
Look, you don't have buttons. You need buttons for platformers.
It's still impressive. I mean,
I don't want
to
play that.
And he's basically
ever.
Saying to Sega, like, here, just license this and sell it. And I don't know why they wouldn't.
They can sell it. I won't buy it. That's for sure.
Halo Wars had its leaderboard data wiped by human error, they say.
Man, that sucks.
They shouldn't have built the big button that says delete all people's accounts, yes, and then put it right next to the coffee mug. right next to the coaster.
How does this happen?
There's a story there.
Some guy
we'll never
walking
know.
Along.
Yeah, do-do-do. Oh, no.
You're like, what'd you do?
Can you imagine if it was Halo instead of Halo Wars?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Everyone went back down to level one. Their meaningless level got wiped clean.
If it went to DEFCON 1 on Halo or Halo 2, the internet as we know it would cease to exist. It would be Michael Jackson's death all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, Atlus is pleading to its fans to please stop importing Demon's Soul, which is out in Japan and is already translated, but they're still bringing it to America anyway. To try to trick you into waiting, they're offering a free art book and soundtrack with the game when it comes out. So, if anyone's into that.
Is that why they do that? I haven't been able to buy an Atlus game in years without getting some kind of plushie or something along with it.
Right.
It's an anti-import thing.
Well, when you look at the fan base they cater to is pretty import savvy, you would imagine. So, yeah, they got to do something. And especially for a game like this, which is already translated. What's next? Oh, okay, here we go. So, let's start this debate again.
Oh, God.
Id's Rage is coming out to PCs, 360, and PS3. We've already heard them complaining about how the game might be 3 DVDs long on the 360. But on the PS3, the frame rate may only be 20 to 30 frames per second as opposed to the 360's and PC's 60 frames per second.
Do we really have to go into this?
Not at depth. I just found it interesting. I'm kind of confused. The Carmack's explanation is that the RSX isn't as fast as the 3D card in the 360, which I always thought was supposed to be the other way around.
What do you think, Beige?
I don't know. It's not one of the titles I'm following heavily, so.
What is Rage, anyway?
It looks kind of interesting. It's like an open world kind of Mad Max sort of thing that they're making. Oh. But Id's art style is just so generic.
Oh, it's Id.
It's right up there with Ninja Gaiden.
They haven't really got beyond high school art margins yet.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say middle school, but. If you're getting Guitar Hero 5, I will admit this. This is a very cool feature, and I'm proud of them for doing it.
Why are you saying it to me like I'm some sort of great defender of Guitar Hero?
You just yell at me.
It's because you're, like, deliberately mean to them.
Avatars on the 360 are playable as characters in Guitar Hero 5, which I think looks pretty cool. It works because I always thought the worst animation in all of Guitar Hero was the singer's mouth moving, but the mouths don't move. They just kind of do that little animated thing.
Oh, that probably looks better.
Yeah, it looks really good, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Continuing music news, Pearl Jam's Backspacer, which is coming out in September, is getting a day and date release in Rock Band, which is pretty cool.
What? What's Backspacer?
Their new album.
Oh, okay.
Also, did you see that Lego Rock Band is getting You Give Love a Bad Name?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. I saw
I saw in the commercial with those naked chicks walking around. Well, which one is that, Rock Band or Guitar Hero? Caused all the controversy yesterday.
The one that O'Reilly was upset about? Yeah, I can't remember.
It has the Sultans of Swing in it, so I'm sold.
Spinal Tap's album, original album, is going on Rock Band next week, right?
Yeah, that's, you know. Got a Stonehenge.
You Give Love a Bad Name. I think that's in Guitar Hero 5 also.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And last and least, Braid has been confirmed for the PlayStation 3.
Has it been
3.
Confirmed? Or is
yeah,
this,
it was first on the German rating boards, and then Hothead Games confirmed it.
All right. So they haven't played Braid yet.
Which you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who hasn't. But
yeah, honestly. I don't know very many people who have a PS3 but don't have a 360, honestly.
I don't either.
But maybe it's just because I either know people who wouldn't like gaming that much, or... I know, because it's weird, because I know a lot of people who have 360s and not PS3s. Go ahead.
The only guys I know who have PS3s and not 360 are big racing racing game fans.
That makes sense.
They've all got PS3s, but they could probably care less about Braid, so...
It's kind of amusing, because there hasn't even been, like... What, they're still playing GTA 5 Prologue or 6 Prologue, whatever it is?
No idea. It's a whole other culture from what I understand.
They're not real video games, yeah.
I actually find myself looking forward to Forza 3.
Yeah, I know you do.
I respect it. You know, I it's not my scene, but it's like a really good sports game. Like the, you know, yeah. The bigs are...
I want to take her to dinner or anything, but...
All right, so should I not look at this Let's Go Topical thing?
Yeah, or? I mean, yeah, no. I'll just say it to you guys. Okay.
Let's Go Topical. You need to make, you need to call it like Topic Thunder or something like that.
I kind of liked Let's Go Topical.
All right.
It sounds like a Japanese arcade game.
Yeah, let's go topical.
There's an exclamation
it's a whole
point.
Franchise. Yeah.
It should be let's go exclamation point topical.
Yeah. All right, bring it on.
You guys done yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No. Okay, fine. God. I'm naming the segments here. All right. I'm going to just be asking you guys some questions, kind of yes or no questions. You kind of elaborate. So here's the first question. Despite your anticipation of Dragon Age, do you find its art style and fantasy theme to be a bit too typical of the genre? Do you wish for something a little more creative?
Yes. Is that... Do we need to further this?
Yeah.
I feel bad for them, because I don't dislike the fantasy setting, you know. I'm just really bored. Like, BioWare. We're talking about BioWare. They had everything in front of them. They did Mass Effect, which was really cool. They did Jade Empire. And now they're doing this sort of Lord of the Rings-esque inspired thing. Now, I saw it at PAX. It looked really good. I kind of get what they're going for, but it's just everything they've shown seems – it's not saying – I don't know what the – Game of Thrones. What's the current hotness in fantasy literature these days?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, please.
Yeah,
no, I think it means more
– Well, it's swords and dragons and macho-looking guys and undead and elves and whatnot.
Orcs
it's,
and
– You know, it's more the same. I kind of worried for them. Honestly.
To me, it doesn't bother me. I mean, granted, you're talking to the guy who loves Oblivion. I mean, honestly, it's just that I like this setting, so.
See, I can't even stand to, like, look at you play Oblivion sometimes.
I know.
Like, you were talking to some reptile thing, and I just get mad.
I know.
I'll play it. I mean, and I know they're trying to do different things with it. Like, they're trying to make the elves different than these sort of.
Yeah,
you
see,
know,
that's where I think they'll. Like, it's like everyone's kind of judging the aesthetic, but I think the way the world works is going to be pretty different, actually, from what I've read. I mean, we'll know when the game comes out in the fall, I guess. But
for me, there just are certain games where I just, at this point, just can't get into them anymore, because it just feels so familiar. I couldn't get into
but
them.
But here's why I ask everybody who criticizes fantasy instrument, like, what would you have done instead? If this was the game you wanted to make, how would you have changed the aesthetics if it was still the same game?
Well, if it was the game that I wanted to make, it wouldn't have been in a high fantasy setting in the first place. But,
right.
You know, if they did, I would have done, what would I have done?
I guess I would ask, why do they still want to make that game?
Well, part of it, I mean,
they made it.
People have been clamoring for some kind of successor to Baldur's Gate for a long time. And I mean, between this game and Baldur's Gate, like you said, they've done KOTOR, Jade Empire, Mass Effect. I mean, they've done other things.
There's things that
are
just the sci-fi equivalent of generic fantasy don't impress me much. I went there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jade Empire, I don't know. I guess that is more. Yeah, I think I admire its setting a bit more, but that was probably also.
Yeah, and look, Jade Empire was the biggest risk in terms of change of setting, and that was their least popular game in the last 15 years.
I'm not because nobody read Bridge of Birds. Jade Empire was really good, and the milieu that they came up with was a dead ringer for all of that Barry Hugart Chinese Fantasyland stuff. And their only problem was that nobody except for them apparently had read those books, was into that stuff. You know, the whole point of these novels was that they had these names of guys like Sagacious Chen and I don't know, whatever the different sort of Chinese sounding names, and they put it out on the market and people start saying it's racist. Yeah, of course there's supposed to be a guy called Hen Pecked Ho in there. That's a name. It's in Bridge of Birds. It's a real character. They ripped it right out of the novel. People just didn't get Jade Empire.
I think I think the problem was, and this is just like what my perception was from what I was being told by the game, you know, journalism. I mean, the game was pretty much, people were saying, oh, it's going to be KOTOR, but in Asia.
In China, yeah.
Yeah. And I
want to see them do what they promised a couple of weeks ago and say, make a role-playing game or something where combat is non-existent or very minimal.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. You know, instead of generically, if I was going to do, if I was going to do Dragon Age, instead of having, multiple battles, JRPG style, I would have a game that had like 30 fights in it. Just 30 fights. But each of those fights was really cinematic and like super long and really detailed environments, the kind of thing that would take you 4 or 5 hours to complete with your characters, you know, like do real Helm's Deep kind of stuff. And, you know, have a really small cast, 5 guys, make it like a D&D party, right? Where you've got the thief and the wizard and those guys, but have it more about those characters and their story. It doesn't seem like what they're doing with Dragon Age. I don't know. They're going for more of the, you know, broad brush, big war, lots of guys charging together thing, and we've seen that before.
That's,
I don't know.
That's
I'm willing to
my
give
complaint.
The impression that I got seeing it at PAX was that the whole game was just designed as a platform to launch their modding engine. Anyway, it's not really about the game. It's about the tools that they want it to be the next Neverwinter Nights and have people make modules and you know, share content and that kind of stuff. And the game was just the vehicle, the single player veneer that they were putting over the top of it to make that happen, which is cool. But I don't want to talk shit about BioWare. I'll wait and see what they come out with.
All right. Next up, speaking of creativity, okay, so of course you're looking forward to Tim Schafer's Brutal Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Still, with metal being such a big theme in gaming recently thanks to Guitar Hero, do you find the game's metal-inspired world to be one of Schafer's less creative ideas?
Well, I often wonder whether the success of Guitar Hero is what created Brutal Legend, right? Because first he said, hey, summer camp for psychic kids, and everybody was like, meh. And then, okay, death metal? And hopefully he's going to appeal to the you know, collective consciousness of that one. But I don't know. I like it. I like death metal. I would have liked it a lot more probably if it hadn't already been beaten into the ground by Guitar Hero. But, you know, obviously Tim wants to make the game that he wants to make.
I just think, like, and granted, I really haven't seen a lot of the game in depth because I'm trying to save it, but it almost looks like it's so over the top that, like, comedy ensues from that. You know what I mean? Like, just everything you could possibly imagine that game seems to be, like, made out of a guitar or something. So, like, I think, like, because it's so overdone, it makes it kind of funny. It's not very subtle. That's what I'm guessing I'm driving
at. But I mean, just like, well, for me, just what like Baze was saying, like compared to Psychonauts, was just like such a wildly creative idea.
Uh-huh.
Like no one would ever do anything like that. And then have something that's, well, this is metal. and it's about a roadie, and he's in the metal kind of underworld and stuff. It, you know, it just when I hear those two descriptions, let's say I didn't know anything about either game, I would definitely want to play Psychonauts more.
Well, but if it was sitting on a shelf, how many people would walk into GameStop and buy it?
Right? I definitely think that this might be Tim Schafer's attempt to make a commercial success finally.
He deserves it.
Right.
You know?
And I'm not criticizing him for that. I'm just saying that I do not find it as creative an idea. And I mean, maybe it's intentional in a way. He doesn't want to get that far out there with this one because he doesn't think that'll sell.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt just because of all the good voice actors and the actual metal, the musicians and stuff that are in there. I mean, they're not doing it half-assed. It's not a cash-in. It's a definite homage. So, you know, it's just like the biker thing or the maybe not as wild out there as Day of the Dead meets noir. But they're definitely doing it right. You know, they're so.
Right. I mean, I have little doubt it's going to be a fantastic game.
Take that or your next World War II shooter.
Right. Yeah, I mean, still,
a metal game is better than a generic game.
Right. Even still compared to the majority of big, you know, AAA releases, it's about the most creative thing out there. But just compared to maybe his past stuff. Okay, we can move on.
Okay.
All right, next question. With Star Wars The Old Republic seeming to be the next big MMO, do you think it, or any other MMO for that matter, will ever be able to be bigger than World of Warcraft?
I don't think it's going to be bigger, but I think this will come the closest anyone's ever come. I mean, it does have one of the biggest IPs in the world, and it also has a good pedigree behind it. Because I think, like, you know, people were saying kind of, I guess, the same thing about Galaxies, but ultimately, Galaxies really was just EverQuest in space. It didn't feel like a very Star Wars-y experience once you started playing it. Because the game initially was pretty successful, and then it had a huge drop-off. And from everything I've seen of this one, I think they're trying to really make this a Star Wars game first and an MMO second. Because when you look at all the like vid docs and everything they've released, we haven't even seen anything that talks about the combat system or the quest system.
A lot of the vid docs make it almost look like a single-player
exactly.
game.
Exactly. They're talking about story and world and how your character will interact with all of that. And I mean, for that, I think it looks really sweet. Basically, like, every class in the game is its own KOTOR game, essentially.
Okay, do you think any other game ever will be able to be bigger than World of Warcraft, or is that just a benchmark now?
No.
Now and forever.
World of Warcraft is an anomaly. Honestly, it's almost strange to think how it did get so popular. I mean, yeah, it was a popular classic gaming franchise, but it wasn't mass market by any means. It was a PC strategy game. I really don't know how it got to where it did.
Well, it's accessible.
Yeah.
And you, in much the same way as I'm sure BioWare is hoping Dragon Age will be, you see orcs, elves, dwarves, and whatnot, and you instantly get it. I mean, I have a friend who designs board games for a living, and he's always talking about how when you are designing a board game, the theming part of it is, you know, like the game that you want to make is really all about math and stuff like that. But to get people to actually pick it up, you have to put things in really simple terms, like Fat Princess style, where the game starts and you have, you know, warrior, wizard, priest, ranger. You already know the tropes before you pick up the controller. You can make your choices and go. And, you know, it had a low, it was Blizzard, so people were on board initially, but I don't know. I just think that, MMOs are like a language, right? Like if everybody speaks English on the internet, it's just better. You know, people can communicate. You know, you don't have to learn five different languages to enjoy yourself there. And World of Warcraft just happened to get the critical mass. Like, what people wanted was a place to go, hang out with their friends, raid some stuff, and enjoy, you know, playing in an MMO. And it probably didn't matter whoever hit that first. It would just, you know, if the bar of entry is low enough and the gameplay is non-threatening enough, and enough people get on board, it just snowballs. And you get it. It's a hegemon right now. Like, there's no reason. I don't think there's any reason for anybody to ever expect that another MMO could beat it, because it's already the default destination for people who just want to go online, socialize, and every so often kill some stuff. Like, that infrastructure is in place. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Two other quick questions then. Do you think any other Blizzard MMO can beat it even?
I don't think they should try. Why split it? You know, that's just stupid.
The only way they could do that is if they do something like Sony actually does, where $15 a month for World of Warcraft, $15 a month for whatever else we put out, $20 or $25 a month for just access to everything.
All right. And also, and this is more of like, I really don't know. Does Star Wars have, what is Star Wars international appeal? Is it like huge? Is it big enough that even in like Korea, an MMO based off it could catch on there? I never knew if Star Wars was more just like really a North American, maybe Europe thing.
I don't know. I don't get it. You know, as far as I can tell, Star Wars petered out 10, 15 years ago before the prequels. Like
the thing is, it's kind of enjoying a surge of popularity with kids because of the Clone Wars, which granted, this doesn't directly appeal to, but I mean, there's the tie is there.
Right, but I guess I'm just ignorant of how big it is internationally. Like, obviously here, it's one of the biggest franchises ever, but I just don't know if it has the same appeal as, like, a Warcraft does worldwide.
I see.
Or just something, like, just something here's fantasy, or whatever it is.
The movies themselves are really popular, but I mean, they were popular worldwide, but I don't know if the, you know, nerd culture, etc., you know, the novelizations and all that stuff. Who knows?
All right. Okay, next up. Sega says that Sonic's quality will improve with time. Do you believe them?
No.
No. Well, here's, maybe. Here's, I mean, here's why. There's no incentive.
Here's why, what, yeah.
No, I want to hear Beige first.
Well, okay, I think he's going to say what I'm going to say, so go ahead.
No, I want to hear Beige say it.
Well, I'm not a Sonic fan, so I can't really speak to it.
That's why I want him
to speak. You guys have probably played a lot more Sonic games than I have. When it was on the Genesis, it was cool. But, you know, I think I've talked about this on Squadron of Shame podcast before, about how, you know, Nintendo and Sonic, both roads, you know, the two roads diverged in the Yellowwood. Nintendo decided, okay, you know what? It's good enough. Mario, like, when Bugs Bunny or Wile E. Coyote tried to get the Roadrunner every episode, that was good enough. Like, we didn't have to have a meta plot involving where the Roadrunner came from and why Wile E. wanted to get him, you know? Bowser kidnaps the princess, you rescue it. They remained very pure. And Sega went off in the other direction. They just started getting into all this wacky-ass canon where they had to bring out the new, you know, Shadow the Hedgehog, or, you know, they had to keep, like, pretending that anybody actually cared about anything except running really fast and gathering a bunch of rings. And as far as I could tell, with each successive game, they just get farther and farther away from the idea of running fast and gathering a bunch of rings. And I get less and less interested in Sonic, you know. I never did care about him as a character. So, until they get back to that, I mean, where's the appeal? How's the quality going to pick up if they don't return to what made it good in the first place?
Well, when you read the interview, and I forget who it was with that you're referencing here in this question, the guy was saying, like, yeah, we realized, like, a lot of core gamers, they liked the daytime levels in Unleashed, but didn't like the nighttime levels, and yeah, we'll get better at it. Then he says at the end of this interview, he says, but, you know, the game was quite popular with kids, and it sold really well there. Well,
kids are stupid.
Well, exactly. You know what? A kid's money, or the kid's parents' money, is the same as our money. And if they can get their money easier by doing these crap games, what's the incentive? Like you said, what's the incentive for them to try hard and make a good Sonic game for us to buy?
I still think, ultimately, Sega's not doing great. I think they were hit a little bit. They're bleeding money this quarter, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should throw some subtitles on Yakuza 3, goddammit.
But, so Sonic sells well enough. But don't you think, like, if there was a Sonic game that averaged, like, a 90 or even, like, an 85 on a Metacritic site, don't you think, like, that game would be gangbusters
in
sales?
Yeah, like, why can't there be a Sonic game with quality on par with Mario Galaxy?
Right. I don't know. Did you guys buy the BioWare Sonic RPG? It had good reviews.
I rented it, and I made the mistake of renting it on Gamefly, and then when I sent it back, I, of course, lost all my progress, and I hate starting RPGs over again. It was good.
I don't know.
But that's not a Sonic. That doesn't count.
Well, see, but there's your problem, right? Like, I would have said the Sonic franchise was long gone, but then they put Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, and it sells a crazy amount of things. So somewhere outside of the core gaming culture, people just love that character. And, you know, it's a Hannah Montana thing.
My problem with that Sonic RPG was that it looked more to me than an RPG, like an RPG than a Sonic game.
Yeah.
And I guess people will make that same complaint about the Mario RPG, but there's something about the Mario RPGs that still feel like a Mario game in a way. And even then, they make up with this kind of quirky humor. Whereas a Sonic RPG, that's almost like you're encouraging everything that's bad about Sonic. Like, we're going to have the characters talk more. There's going to be even more of a story. Yeah, no. None of that. We're going to slow it down. No. That is not a good fit for me. Even if it was well executed, even, I do not have much interest in a Sonic RPG.
Would you want to play the Mario first-person shooter?
Probably not.
There you go.
Like, that is also a very poor fit.
What about the Mickey Mouse first-person shooter?
Well, yeah.
There you go. Epic Mickey's actually first-person.
Well, sometimes something can be such a poor fit that it's great. Okay. All right. Last question, guys. Are you sick of countdown clocks, and do you still consider them an effective form of marketing?
Yes and no. Yes, I'm sick. No, it's not.
Were they ever an effective form of marketing?
We're going to announce something. Okay, go ahead. Well, no, we're going to announce it next week. It's not like it's the game. It doesn't have to be finished. It's a fucking press release. Type it up and put it out there. I mean, you have the internet. It does not take long for something to propagate. Do you really need everyone looking at the same time? Does that matter?
The first person who did it had a good idea, and then it's been it's just completely worthless now. Because every single game has this countdown clock. You know, I don't need to see Hideo's countdown clock or Square's countdown clock or whatever. I don't care. I see that story on Kotaku, I just skip by it.
Even worse now are the countdown clocks to countdown clocks. oh my God.
What I love is just how almost never does, I mean, almost every time we find out what the game is before the countdown ends. Because they're always feeling like some...
Just go into the JavaScript, right. They go...
Yeah,
well, even okay. So, there's always like the Famitsu, next Famitsu gets leaked with a magazine scan, and there's the picture, like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, how often are these anything that big that needed a freaking countdown clock? I could see if there was a countdown clock...
Diablo 3 had a pretty significant one.
And you know what? That game deserves a countdown clock. When we had no idea it's coming, and there's a weird countdown, and boom, Diablo 3. Oh my God, that is sweet. When I get a countdown clock to Square Enix saying, we're making another Crystal Chronicles game for the iPhone, I don't give a shit. Who cares?
Okay. All right, that's it for Let's Go Topical.
All right.
There's no Let's points go. This time. Let's go! Let's
topical.
Go top. That could have a theme song. Let's go topical.
Oh, no.
I think I just sang Lamb Chops sing along with it.
I think you did.
Lamb Chops. Da da da. All right.
Quiz time?
All right. We're
quiz time.
All right.
Let's do it.
Oh, wait. You don't look. For some reason, everything is not whited out. Close your eyes.
Yeah, I have my eyes shut anyway.
Quiz time. All right. Here we go. 6 questions. 5 points to win. First question. How many characters are in Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yes, I anticipated this question, and I looked a few days ago, and the answer is 52.
Oh, you got it. You win. All right, question 2 then. Although Turtles in Time is based on the TMNT cartoon, 2 characters exclusive to the movies make an appearance. Who are they?
Toka and Rezar.
Very good. Oh, man, that's 2 for 2.
Yeah.
Okay, you might need bases out for this one. Question 3. How many numbered entries are there in the main Ultima series?
There's 9.
You got that too?
Yeah, because in Ultima 9, the Ascension was like a buggy piece of shit and basically killed the series.
All right, then. Question 4. What is Jack holding on the cover art for Jack 3?
Oh, fudge. This is the only one I really played that much. Do you know?
It's not Daxter?
That's probably the best guess.
It's not Daxter.
Okay.
Daxter might be hanging on him or something.
It's over there. Can I go look at it?
No, you can't go look at it. Can I cheat?
Please. I don't know. Some precursor artifact.
A shotgun.
Damn it.
Question 5. Name the 3 tenets of the Assassin's Creed. You don't have to be precise.
Okay. You never kill an innocent. Don't do anything that will, like, put the clan in danger.
Okay.
And, shit. What's the 3rd one?
I don't know, man.
Hang on. Oh, it's always like work in concealment or something like that.
Yeah, be stealthy.
Okay.
Oh, if you get this bonus question, you'll win.
Oh, my God.
This is a very hard bonus question, though.
Shit.
What year was Warren Spector born?
Oh, my God. Seriously? I'll say 1952.
1955.
Damn, that was actually close.
Within 5 years.
Yeah, come on.
No, you don't get it. That was close.
What a bullshit question that was.
That's a bonus question. It's supposed to be harder.
Oh.
I guess. I was looking for a good Warren Spector question. I saw his birthday on Wikipedia. That's good enough. He'll get this and like it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about our week in gaming.
Word.
Marvel
vs. Capcom 2.
Oh, yeah.
2.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out.
It's awesome.
I mean, you know, it's the game I've been playing for 9 years.
Yes.
And, you know, it has you know, a great netcode. It has a great netcode. I still have the same complaint with it that I do with Street Fighter 4, where...
It's the same netcode as Street Fighter 4.
Well, no, but my matchmaking is the problem.
Yeah.
When you do... I hate how you do quick match, and it'll always tell you, oh, we couldn't find anything. Now, I love it in Blaze Blue where you do that, and it'll
just keep going until it finds something.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
How crazy.
This one, it's like, we can't find one. Do you want to make a match? I'm like, okay. Then I do that, and no one will ever join it. But besides for that, I mean, it's Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I'll tell you what, I thought it was pretty hot shit for a while, because I was on there, and I was winning for a while. Then I started getting my ass kicked.
Like playing a guy, he actually knows combos.
Yeah, he actually knows. I mean, online play, you have to be careful with Marvel vs. Capcom 2, because if someone's, like, really good at the game, there's little you can do. Because the game...
Well, there's a lot of well-documented exploits that...
Right. Like the
you know, this is a port of the Dreamcast version, as is.
It's really not a very balanced game.
Oh, no.
And that's kind of the charm of it, to a degree. But, I mean, it's great, because if you have, like, two people who just are playing it, it doesn't really matter. But, yeah. Like, pretty much there's only six characters that are even, like, worthwhile if you're, like, a top-tier player.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be, like, Storm, Magneto, and Psylocke, and that kind of thing. But, you know, I love that game.
Also, can we say how awesome it is that, you know, when you turn on the game, all the characters are unlocked?
You know, people are complaining about that.
Oh, fuck them.
They're like, we don't...
I liked it better when I had to play the game for 10 hours before I get the character I wanted.
Someone literally complained about how, because they thought it was cool in the Dreamcast version how they could keep the practice mode on all night long and then get points to buy things with. Like, that was a complaint.
Are you kidding me? That person needs to just be arrested.
I was like, what... How is that a positive thing?
Just people are stupid. God, I hate the internet sometimes. Just lets anybody have a voice and say whatever they want.
Yeah. Too bad.
Word.
Yeah. It's a shame how everyone has a voice and stuff. It's terrible. What are you talking about? All right. We kind of played the Champions Online beta a little bit, although we really just made characters.
Yeah, I tried to play the beginnings, like, tutorial quests that every MMORPG have that suck. And it was like you had to block three attacks from these guys, and it just wouldn't register that I was blocking them, so I quit. But I made a really cool-looking cowboy.
Yeah, the character. I mean, it's a lot like City of Heroes.
With the character creator, yeah, and everything.
I mean,
did you make the same character?
No. Michael wants me to revisit one of my old characters, which I'll probably do later.
His first character was called Investech. This was the fucking stupidest-looking character.
Yeah, he was sweet.
It was like some, like, old man with leprosy or something.
He was a cyborg.
Yeah, okay. He had like, yellow-dotted skin.
It was a bandana he was wearing.
He had yellow-dotted skin and one robot arm and a bandana, and he was, like, sickly.
He had a robotic leg, too.
He was sickly pale.
Man, I could root for that guy.
Thank you.
No, and his catchphrase... His war cry was, time for a justice upgrade.
Okay, maybe not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. I want you to make Investech 2.0.
I will.
You needed to do is have a nemesis on that server and then migrate your characters to a whole other hero MMO game.
Right.
And start up your nemesis again. Some other person who you hate.
Man, I made a character. I basically made an Iron Man, but with an afro. And I called him Disco Tron.
What you should have done is reboot the franchise. See, you had your, it wasn't testing so well with the focus group, so you could reboot it with the dark and gritty backstory now.
I could retcon it.
And Christian Bale doing the voiceovers, right? That's what you need to do when you transfer to a new superhero game.
Okay.
My character, though, I actually had very little interest in playing the game.
I know. They could just charge $10 for the character creator.
But even still, it was pretty much City of Heroes with more options and, like, capes.
And cell shading.
But, I mean, even with the cell shading, it looks a lot like City of Heroes to me still.
It really does.
It still has the same, like, kind of textures you can add to your things. A lot of the items you can add look familiar. The mm-hmm. sort of tentacles. I don't know. It looks very familiar. I finally played through and beat Assassin's Creed.
Yes, you did.
I
wondered where that question came from.
I got my brother to borrow the game from one of his coworkers.
Sold it without telling us.
You know, he claims he didn't do that. He claims you lost it. So I'm not taking sides.
I don't have it.
Well, I'm not taking sides. But so I finally got to play through it. And you know what people say about the game. It's a fun game. It gets a little repetitive and stuff. I just kind of wanted to finally see the ending. I was a little shocked when I got to the ending. It's like supposed to be teasing the next game. There's a lot of like things like referring to like some sort of like sunken Japanese island, and there's even some Egyptian things. Nothing Italian though. Makes me wonder.
Yeah, there was the Aztec stuff and Japanese things. I had a lot of other locations pegged.
I think I even tried looking back at like they show you like that map in the end where all those things are. In case I don't want to spoil it, I don't even know if there was one. At Italy. I don't know if they actually had this whole thing planned out as well as they wanted us to think they did.
You know what? I had the sense when I finished Assassin's Creed. It was like Far Cry. Like, it was a good beginning of a game and a quite good ending of a game with a bunch of wandering.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Like, the much more Prince scripted Persia, beginning and endings parts were more intriguing to play through than that whole kind of middle... You know, do this again and again.
Ubisoft has a problem with, lazy middles. they've got open-ended confused with compelling, or they've got like freedom of choice, but the ability to do nothing of consequence confused with actual Fallout-style freedom.
Right. So. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like some games don't need to be open world. I know it's a big trendy thing now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Doesn't do anything for me. I liked Bionic Commando, and it was on rails pretty much.
You know, I played that. Did I talk about it?
What, Bionic Commando?
Yeah, did I?
I don't know. I just heard the game, and the voice acting just turned me off so much.
I know it shouldn't be
that big a deal, but when I just hear that,
you have to get into it in the proper framework, like the so straight it's gay framework. Where everything that comes out of Rad's mouth or Joe's mouth, there's smoldering sexual subtext going on there. Then it picks up.
I think if it had a co-op mode, I could get into it. If I was making fun of someone, it's like how the dialogue in Resident Evil 5 works.
That improved incredibly.
Exactly. Oh man.
Did you play anything else?
Did I play anything else? I don't know. We just downloaded Fat Princess.
We're gonna play it tonight.
I played the first boss in Splosion, man. I thought that was good. I know people were complaining that it's hard. I didn't think it was that hard. I think people are still taking it back these days when they play a boss that takes a few tries to kill.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right. One game I know I played a week ago and I didn't talk about it last time was Prototype. Did you play it?
I haven't played it yet.
No, I never did.
It's not bad. It seems like it's going to suffer from that same thing that you guys are saying, where the middle is just kind of blah, but like the beginning's cool, and well, I don't know what the ending's like. It kind of does an Assassin's Creed kind of deal with the movement, where when you hold down the R trigger, that just basically activates parkour mode, and if you just hold down forward on the stick, you'll run that way, no matter what's in your way, even like the Empire State Building. Yeah, it's cool. Like, getting around in the game is super fun. And, you know, they have this, you know, you jump far, you have some really cool combat abilities. So what do they do for half the game? Make stealth missions.
Ooh.
It's the stupidest decision ever. You are like this walking god. And it's fun. It's very satisfying to blow shit up. When you get the one power up that basically turns your fist in these giant stone pillars, you elbow drop a tank.
Yeah.
It's great. And then they're like, I know. Let's make like half the missions in the game where you have to find one specific guy, consume his identity, and sneak around as him. It's so boring.
Yeah.
The thing that turned me off Prototype was the sort of extremeness of it. You know, like I read the reviews and it just looked so bloody and angry that I just sort of, I'd had enough of that.
Yeah,
that
it is time. Like,
and I don't have any sort of lingering 16-year-old smoldering, I hate my parents and I hate my life rage complex.
You don't wear very many hoodies with the hood up, huh?
No, I'm over that. I'm done with that, you know?
Oh, yeah, and the story of the game does make sense for the reason where, again, it's like, you have this guy, like, it would be fine if the story was just, you know, he's out for revenge, he doesn't care who gets hurt. I mean, it almost kind of works. Then, like, you got his sister in the game, who's kind of like your informant, and she's, like, this very altruistic, moral person who hates the man and the corporate America and whatever. I don't know if she just doesn't realize that you're just going around killing whoever you want, but you basically are the embodiment of everything she hates, but she's helping you, and...
Yeah.
Although they do the very cool thing whenever you, like, consume someone to see their memory. It has these very cool montages. They even have some live action in them. That's kind of neat.
I couldn't compel. The only game that could mix live action in with something and be cool was Metal Gear. I always liked it when they did that. I don't know. I'm just not very compelled to try it right now. I'd rather play through Uncharted again.
Yeah.
When I have an anger deficit in my life, maybe. But until then, Fat Princess.
Yeah, I want things that eat cake.
Yes. Another game I played last week that I forgot to talk about, I got into one of the live games of 1 vs. 100, and it is really, really, really cool.
It is fun.
They nailed it.
Explain to me why Jedi is obsessed with this.
Okay, well,
I know nothing about 1 vs. 100.
So there's three levels of play to the game. There's the crowd, the mob, which is 100, and the one. When you're in the crowd, you're just basically playing along, answering the trivia questions. You get bonus points for answering quickly. At the end of every, one competitor's go at the game, the top three scores win an XBLA game. And every week it's a different game. When I was playing it, they were giving away copies of Braid. And then, based on how well you're playing, that increases your chances of getting into the mob or the 100, or the one. If you're in the mob, you know, you're, like, if you don't know how the show works, what it is you have one person answering questions in the mob. And then every time someone in the mob is wrong, they get knocked out. And the more people are knocked out, the more money the one could potentially win. And at various points, they'll ask you, do you want to walk away or keep playing? Instead of playing for money, you're playing for Microsoft points, where you could win, you know, thousands of points if you're the one. And then when the one misses a question, whatever points he had left get distributed among however many people in the mob are left. So if you're in the mob and it's down to like five people in the mob and he loses, you're going to get a fifth of what he would have won, plus an XBLA game.
Really, the cool thing about it is that you actually have someone who's a host and he's actually live and talking to you and like commenting on what's going on.
Yeah,
that does sound really cool, actually.
Yeah, it's very cool. And like between rounds and stuff, where this guy will actually, you know, he sounds just like any other game show host would sound, talking about what's going on in the game. It's very neat. And so yeah, I mean, I got my mother to sit down to look at it, and she said she was just going to sit down for a minute and then go. She stayed the whole time with me. She loved it. So
that's neat.
Yeah,
I'm all for XBLA game shows involving real people with their me's and stuff. So.
I bet in a few years we're going to start seeing a lot of things like that.
Yeah, and something I think it was Tycho and Painter Kate said, seeing my avatar sitting in this crowd was far more compelling than seeing my home avatar do anything.
Yeah, this is actually like this. You know what? This would have been something I would have expected from home, actually.
Yeah,
but like
they totally missed it.
Yeah, what were they? What does home do? What did they spend all that time doing? Whatever.
That's not.
God, I hate. Okay.
I got an iPhone game to talk about. It's Space Invaders Infinity Gene.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a remix of Space Invaders.
20 seconds to talk about.
Okay. It's got like the remix game, which is really cool, but it has this other feature where you can import your music and then it'll dynamically create levels based on your music, and it's actually really, really cool when it does that. I'm done.
Oh man, only 11 seconds. Okay.
Cool.
Are you done then?
Yes.
I want to hear from Beige.
It's actually been a good week for me. I haven't had much time to play games. I've been really, really busy at work. I got super, super slammed, but I bought a lot. And I played a little bit of a whole bunch of games. I bought Blaze Blue eventually.
Woo!
Finally, Xbox version so that I can play with you guys. Sat down a couple of nights ago to try it out. 5 minutes into the story mode when I hadn't even fought anybody yet after the, you know, baroquely animated titles and conversations, I was like, wow, this is the most plot I have ever seen a company try and put in a fighting game before.
It really
and
is.
I haven't even played that stuff yet.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's
long. Yeah, and okay, I don't really understand it. So I'm going to have to go and, you know, I looked at the combo list for first character I picked, did a little bit of just fooling around and training, but I sense that this is the kind of thing where I'm going to have to actually get the DVDs out and, like, bone up
a little bit. I spent a little time in training mode, just learning the moves and maybe kind of figuring out some things that work at Calm. But then I just go to arcade mode first and iron things out there. Then I'll get online.
It's definitely got that Guilty Gear flavor that I like. So and it's so gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
and fast. So.
Did you gravitate towards any characters yet?
I just went for Ragna, just because he seemed to be the protagonist. Mm-hmm. So I thought he's on the box. So I thought, okay, if we're gonna play the story mode, we're gonna start with this guy. Oh, and I love that there's Omake, like a little bonus, random, silly, you know, like where the little chibi characters come out and dance around
teach
and stuff.
Teach me Booby Lady.
Teach me Booby Lady. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's hilarious.
You know, my wife likes to watch anime, and she's there's a couple series that do that. It's called an omake, where like the characters come out and then kind of break the fourth wall and start just talking about random shit that doesn't have anything to do with the game in question. So yeah, I respect it. I'm looking forward to getting a little deeper into that. I've been playing Little King's Story.
Oh, how is that?
Love it.
I understand it completely falls apart at the end.
What? Probably. Says who? People say that about Uncharted. They are wrong. Dead wrong.
Well, okay. It's hard to play Wii games now, don't you find? Like, when I go back to my Wii, it's just like,
it's like, what am I doing?
You made me remember a game I forgot. Don't let me forget.
Yeah, me too. I forgot that we just got like one of the Wii's biggest releases. We forgot to talk about it.
Yeah, keep going. We'll go back.
Okay. Well, I'm playing Little King's Story. It doesn't look good, but it's amusing. Like, it's, okay. Do you like Pikmin? Cause it's a cross between Pikmin and, I don't know, some sort of resource. It's Harvest Moon, guys, right?
Uh-huh.
It's got a heavy Harvest Moon, like, farming flavor to it. You're building this town, and, you have little peasants that you can assign different roles, like they can be a warrior or a farmer. And, as you go around digging up, like, you tell them to do stuff. So you go treasure hunting and dig up chests of gold or whatever to have money in your treasury. You can have them slay monsters and get valuables and items that way. And, as you sort of, your town levels up, then, did you ever play My Life as a King? It's quite similar to that. Yeah. And you build like, you know, the magic academy, so your guys can be mages, and you build the hunter's shack so they can be hunters, and you sort of slowly expand from your castle area to the farther areas of the world, and you slowly collect. You start only being able to carry 5 guys around with you, but by the end of the game, you can have 30 following you around. It's quite charming. It's got a really good sense of humor about itself, and it has a really neat, even though the art styles, like the Wii can't push very many polygons. It's a good example of people using the Wii's technology to do something kind of arty, you know, like cartoony. They have a sort of blackboard, storybook style interface to a lot of the things. And like the opening cinematic is all told with like finger puppets on popsicle sticks that come out and kind of do the little thing, like the Punch and Judy show in your face. So it's quite self-aware. And I like it a lot. It's, you know, it's calming. The only thing that surprised me about it is that it's reasonably hardcore. I'm playing on hard mode. So if you're one of your villagers die, they're dead permanently.
Oh, wow.
They don't come back. And you have a finite number of them. So unless you sort of expand your village or you get them to have kids or something like that, you can get into a boss fight and lose a quarter of your town in a particularly nasty fight, and that's difficult to recover from. But I like it a lot anyway. So, I'd recommend it to anybody who wants something different. If you have love for a game like Pikmin and you like resource management building type things, then it's right up your alley. So I've been playing that and still playing some Monster Hunter, not so much. And I just played Fat Princess for about an hour before coming on the show, and I can't wait to sign off and get cooking on squad game night, which is tonight. There's a big Fat Princess party going down.
So big Fat Princess party.
Well, I mean, like, how long did it take them to get around to combining platforming and
Team Fortress?
Yeah, brawling and Team Fortress. And it really works. Plus, it has a fantastic sense of humor about itself. And, you know, the distinguished Ian McKellen style voice who's narrating in the background saying, "They're in your base, killing your dudes." That part just works fantastic.
Oh, that sounds great. I gotta try that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the descriptions of one of the levels was just pwn as many PWN the enemy side as much as possible. So
Leetspeak. I love Leetspeak. I know some people feel like Leetspeak's so old. No, Leetspeak is still hilarious. No,
it's restrained. It's fairly restrained, but also very tongue in cheek, and it has just a great sensibility about it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it.
Nice. Anything else, Beige?
Raido Kuzunoha versus King Abaddon. But I talked about that.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I know about that.
That and Explosion Man.
Oh,
played a little bit. So.
Yeah, Explosion Man's great.
I've been doing a little bit of the dim sum thing, sampling lots of little games, but not really diving into anything.
What's wrong with that? We forgot
Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, silly us.
Which is the big game we had to talk about.
Well, I mean, you know, it's fun. It's cute. The Wii Motion Plus works pretty well. Sword fighting. And like table tennis and frisbee and archery are the ones I kind of think are the most fun.
Yes. Okay. So the showdown mode, which is one of the sword games, which is, it's kind of like Dynasty Warriors with Miis and one-to-one sword control, is phenomenal. Oh my God. I have so much fun playing it. And like, you start playing it and you start getting into it. And like, you know, they want you like to hold the Wii Remote with two hands at all times and you're swinging and whatever. You start getting into it, you're flourishing your sword, you're shouting, and you're throwing it from hand to hand, whipping it behind your back, and the game's doing everything you're doing really well. I mean, he still holds it with two hands at all times, but other than that, he's doing whatever you do. And I just like, you know, you think, oh, you just run around, wave your Wiimote and win. You actually have to kind of finesse it in the harder levels. Like, you get to, like, some of the Miis who have two or three hearts, and you have to duel them. Like, you have to hold up your defense, watch for their attacks, wait for an opening, and go. Like, either block them and let, like, knock them off balance so you can hit them, or, like, you'll notice, like, if I sweep down at his knees, he's not gonna be able to block in time. And you do it, and it works. And I tweeted this. I really hope someone at LucasArts is playing that mode, like, right now. Because if you expand that into a lightsaber game, boom. It's gonna be awesome.
Can I say that I'd way rather play a game that was based in the 1700s and was about actual sword fighting rather than lightsaber sword fighting?
That's fair.
I still think there's a problem. I just don't think sword fighting games are going to really... I haven't tried this thing you're talking about, but to me, you can't get over that problem that there's no resistance.
It still kind of works in this one for some reason.
I don't know.
Because you're not parrying, you're just blocking and attacking.
But especially for, like, you know, a lightsaber game would only work for me if you're not fighting anyone else who has a lightsaber. If it's more like Return of the Jedi lightsaber fighting, where he's just, like, blocking laser shots and stuff, maybe, I don't know.
What you want to play is the original Jedi Knight.
Yeah, see, exactly.
They were all stormtroopers, but you were a Jedi.
That's what I'm thinking of. Like, that might work.
True.
Where your lightsaber can just go through anything anyways. As soon as you have another lightsaber trying to block you, I don't know.
All right,
I think we're done.
Yes, to downloads.
Releases, I forgot. All right, what came out?
Okay. Wii, Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 1, Launch of the Screaming Narwhal.
I heard that there's some slight performance issues with this on the Wii.
Yeah, a guy on Telltale said that the iPhone's more powerful than the Wii.
Bae, didn't you say you were waiting for the Wii release of this?
I did, but then when I got my new computer, all bets were off.
Good man.
So, yeah, I have it on my Steam account right now.
Cool.
Oh, have you tried it yet?
Not yet.
Oh,
it's too much other stuff.
I'm excited for you. All right.
So let's see. Something called Three Musketeers, One for All, and HB Arcade Cards. DSiWare, Sudoku Student.
More Sudoku.
Another week with no virtual console game. Xbox Live Arcade, Marvel's Capcom 2. PlayStation Network. Got Fat Princess and Volume 2 of The Watchmen, The End is Nigh. PSP, Brave Story, New Traveler, Pocket Pool, and Strikers 1945 Plus.
Wait, they actually made a game called Pocket Pool?
Supposedly it's really good. PlayStation 1 got Spec Ops Airborne Commando. And on goodoldgames.com, Judge Dredd, Dredd vs. Death, and Lords of the Realm Royal Edition.
Interesting. Sweet. Real games, yeah, it's the aforementioned Wii Sports Resort. Bionic Commando finally saw a PC release. Blaze Blue. Why is Blaze Blue up here? This came out.
Because it's the real, or it's the edition that people can actually get, as opposed to the ultra rare, at least in Toronto, limited edition.
Right. All right. Yeah. This doesn't. This is cheaper. It doesn't come with the soundtrack and other things in the DVD. 1 second.
Bless you.
Thank you. East India Company for the PC, whatever that is. War in the Pacific, Admiral's Edition for the PC. The Humans for the DS. Memento Mori for the PC. Aliens in the Attic, based off a movie. Space Busta Move.
Space Busta Move.
Space Busta Move for the DS.
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. We were the Exploding Barrel Podcast. We still are, actually.
Yes.
You can find us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at SquadronOfShame.com.
That's right.
Oh, we should mention, we are now affiliated with goodoldgames.com.
Yes.
Baze, you know more about this. Explain.
Sure. Well, we, at, you know, Tom at Good Old Games and us are best buds now. So if you buy Good Old Games, and many people in the squad do, or listeners to Exploding Barrel, you can help us out by clicking on our affiliate banner over at Squadron of Shame. And if you do that before you buy your Good Old Games, it kicks a few cents back our way to pay for bandwidth and hosting. So it costs
and for
you
our
nothing.
Games.
And for our games, yeah. So it costs you nothing.
Wait, we're getting money?
If you support us,
no, we're not getting money.
We're not getting money. But the squad gets a little money if you buy your games by visiting us first. So if you have love for the squad,
and why shouldn't you? So
no, that's it.
That's cool. Also, the Dig episode of the squad cast should be up.
It's in the can.
It's coming
Jedi's editing it, and it'll be out next week sometime.
Right. And, hey, like we said, we have a Disney podcast now. You can find that at planetmickey.wordpress.com if you like Disney also. If you're also excited about Epic Mickey. you can follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tolkoto@squadronofshame.com.
Hatchguy@squadronofshame.com.
And @squadronofshame.com.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast. We'll catch you here next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.